Okay, Dr. Mulvaney, can you tell me, how did you first become aware of this story?
Well, I read the Owen Harris piece in The Independent in 2005, and then I read Ali Heaney's letter. And I come from natural property, I come from County Kelly, so through sort of agricultural connections, that kind of thing, I wouldn't know what the stand is. And of course, I've heard a little bit about the trouble here. So, that in a sense, I mean, through curiosity, and then got a hold of Stanley's book. I mean, the story was really, really a horrific one in many ways, as presented. And then when I read Stanley's book, it sense reinforced it. And difficult to read, and I read it again. And the problems with it began to sort of emerge. And for one thing, the first thing that struck me was the stance on the War of Independence was that the British made a grievous mistake in not dealing with it as a military operation, and what that presumably means by applying, let us say, the kind of military force that we used directly afterwards in Iraq, for instance, bombing, shelling, perhaps gassing, that was his view. And in fact, given, you see, what had happened, which is that a government had been elected in Ireland by an open mandate, and the mandate was reinforced in successive elections, the government then had to implement its mandate. It couldn't resign from it. When the British government refused to accept it and in fact sent in forces to suppress the legitimate elected democratic government, then either people gave up their democratic choice and resigned themselves, in effect what would have been perhaps the first instance of overthrowing an elected government by force. You know, there have been many instances subsequently in terms of the brown shirts, the fascist team, March on Rome.
Just to go back quickly, you said something. You said when you read that story initially, you found it quite horrific. What did you find so horrific about it?
The way the executions are presented, as these men are taken, stood up against the wall, they're fired out with dum-dum bullets to the genitals. The family is forced to watch. The object, obviously, is to make some ghastly sort of point about ethnic cleansing and send out a message that anyone who resisted this would be treated accordingly, you see. Of course, it turns out, in fact, that complete misrepresentation of what actually happened, that didn't happen at all. So, in fact, the evidence that the family themselves gave to the court of inquiry, quite different. In fact, the execution that was watched, they received superficial wounds, and in effect died from lack of medical attention. So, as you go through the book, there's a lot of... in fact, the whole thing in effect turned out then to be a recital of atrocity propaganda, which was a complete misrepresentation of what actually happened. And I presume the purpose of doing it is to renew the propaganda of the time, which was that in order to subvert, to accompany the military suppression or overthrow of the democratic, the elected government, that this kind of stuff would be fed into the public arena for Ireland, for England, for America, and so on. So that's then the problem with the book. And that's how I got into it. My own sort of background, in a way, is that I come from Kilkenny, which is, as I said, not too far from here, but I've worked in the north since about 1970, and I've had an involvement, in a sense, campaigning for a recognition of a right of self-determination for the Ulster Protestants, which means, in effect, that they're recognised as a separate or independent national community of some sort. And in practice, that meant that the removal of the claim in the Irish Constitution for a de jure right to rule the six counties. Now, in fact, at the time, that was rather sort of, in those systems, that was being seen as quite outrageous in many ways, but in effect, that's what happened in the end, is that the peace process went to a conclusion, that there was a referendum to amend the constitution in that respect, and the general idea that there being some sort of forced integration of the counties into the...
Just to come back to the Pearsons.
Yes, indeed.
Why do you think the Pearsons were targeted by the IRA?
Well, because they engaged on the side of the military terror of the imperial government in its effort to suppress the elected government. There's no doubt about this. I mean, in a sense, this more or less sort of is the nitty-gritty of the whole thing. We have the sort of responsible authorities on the Irish side, which is the officer in command of the executions. You have the commanding officer for the county reporting to the commander-in-chief, who was answerable to the government, who had, in fact, insisted that the situation in Offaly, in terms of the presence or the activities of the black and tan forces and so on, something to be done about it in the crucial kind of run-up to election. So that was on the Irish side, that was the thing. And on the British side, if you take, for instance, Stanley's standpoint on this, presumably he would rule that out of order, in a sense, because he regarded them as simply being criminal rebels of some sort, as opposed to a democratically elected government with their armed forces and their various officials, the county councils, which were part of it, supported courts and so on. The point being that, so if you rule that out of it, then you see the other, let's say, responsible authority, the authority on the British side, which is the RSC. The RSC gave exactly the same reason that the Pearsons were shot, because of the fact that they had engaged in an armed attack on the volunteer forces. They shot two of them, they thought killed one. As it happened, that person was blasted in the stomach with a shotgun. He actually survived because he got medical attention. You see, unlike the Pearsons, when they were shot in a botched execution by, let's say, inexperienced soldiers, he recovered in Tullamore Hospital, but the Pearsons were seen by a local dispensary doctor after one of them after 3 hours, and then he died on the field by about 10 o'clock. The other one was brought to Crinkle Military Hospital and was seen at 2 o'clock by the resident army doctor, who then went back to bed. He reports again superficial wounds when he got up. So the British side also comes to the same conclusion as to why these executions took place. The point being that as an action of the forces of the elected government in terms of resisting the attempt to overthrow the elected government by these black and tan force forerunners of what you want to call it, brown shirts, stormtroopers, whatever you want to call it, this kind of anti-democratic militia, which was becoming a feature of the post-war situation. So the British then also have the same interpretation of it. In fact, this is the point going back to Stanley's book, you look closely at it, and it turns out that his father was in fact paramilitary from Leash, who had been involved in a paramilitary outfit and ordered out because of his activities. He reports to his son that the Pearsons, and presumably he himself, went down there to the roadblock and then returned with a shotgun. He says fired over the head, in fact two men were shot, three in fact. Another one that was a civilian who was under arrest and I believe lost a lung.
Just to come back actually to that, because this is a very important instance obviously. Where is the evidence that anybody was shot that night?
The evidence is what was considered by the responsible authorities on the Irish side at the time and by the responsible authorities on the British side, which is the RSC. Now, they would have had the evidence presented to them. The British side, the RSC, they took their evidence. They reported to a formal military inquiry. They reported that the Pearsons had shot two men. Now, we can't expect, we don't have the video of the thing. We're not here to rerun that military tribunal. We obviously can't do that. It was done by people who weren't fools, you know. This then is, in effect, the fully documented explanation of the execution of the Pearson brothers.
And in terms of documented evidence, can you tell me what that document is?
The documented evidence is in the British Public Records Office, where we have, on the one hand, on the British side, and in the Bureau of Military History and other archives on the Irish side. The one in the British is the report of the inquiry, which includes the RSC, their investigation of the shootings, and their report on it. And it's quite clear. There's no doubt on any side. And it's clear from, in a sense,
the documents. I'm curious about that, actually, because I've actually read that course inquiry file, and it doesn't actually say that they categorically that they shot members of the IRA.
Obviously, they don't say that the forces of the elected government executed two people who were collaborating with the terrorist force, which is organizing sort of a coup, a revolution against the legitimate government. They don't use that. That's what they say, was that it was revenge killing by the IRA for shooting two of their men. That's pretty much verbatim.
The IRA gave for the attack, but what I'm trying to find out
is the reason
the medical evidence that anybody was actually shot that night. You actually say in one of your own documents on the website that McKinney was mortally wounded that night. I suppose what I'm asking is, where's the body?
Oh, McKinney was wounded sufficiently that he died later. I mean, if you want his death certificate. But the point is that we are not running the military tribunal, you see. We're highly qualified to do it. The people there did it. The RSC, or the investigating body on the British side, they report that the Pearsons were shot because they had engaged in gunfire against the volunteers and shot two of them. They thought one was shot deadly. As it happens, the man recovered because he was treated in Tullamore Hospital with a spear.
Did he die or did he survive? I'm not clear about that.
It would appear that he survived for a number of years, but he had shot in the stomach with a shotgun blast, so he's not going to be a sort of Olympics candidate. So the documentary evidence then is in fact that RIC report. If, let us say, you take the Stanley view that the Irish report of the actual democratically elected government are somehow not to be considered, all of the reports in fact say the same thing. We do know from Stanley's book that they were armed, they went back to the thing, they fired shots, except over their heads. So the RIC say that two of them were shot, they thought one was killed.
What the RIC report actually said is it reports the fact that the IRA is saying that the two Pearsons were shot because they were involved in the altercation.
I did not. Can we check it? Okay. The CI of Queen's County, that's the chief inspector, said that the two Pearson boys a few days previously had seen two men felling a tree on their land adjoining the road, had told the men concerned to go away, and when they refused, had fetched two guns and fired and wounded two Sinn Feiners, one of whom it is believed died. And so on, and said that his further room there from the farmhouse was burning, two guns fell out of the roof. So that is their report. So they report to the military inquiry that the Pearsons had fetched guns, fired and wounded two Sinn Feiners, one of whom it is believed died. So that's essentially the same as the Cordial report. That's Michael Cordial, who was responsible for the executions, responsible for the administering the decision of the court martial, the finding officer for the county. So
were they not basing that on local reports, though?
This is what it says. What other way meaning can we take out of this, except that the RSC report is that the Pearsons fetched two guns, fired and wounded two Sinn Feiners, one of whom was believed died, pretty clear.
And in terms of medical records from
the RSC business, I presume they dealt with that. This is a court within the legal
Hold on
a second. We need to talk about which are we talking about? Are we talking about the verdict of the Irish authorities and the British authorities on this execution? Of what? I mean, the point was that a military engagement took place. You have two forces at war in the county. The A civilians, they were not officially part of the British forces. They engage with the Irish army when it is conducting its resistance to the Black and Tan forces. So, pretty clear cut. I mean, there isn't much further to go on that. Of course, I mean, look at William Pearson's deposition to the distress committee when he says, we worked for the Crown Force, something of that sort. He didn't mean, of course, that they were making sandwiches for them.
He didn't actually
ironing their uniforms. Well, I didn't say that. I mean, something of this nature. See, the point is that...
What he says is that he was an ardent loyalist.
He says he's an ardent loyalist.
Different.
Okay. We want to check that again. That's something of that. Every official responsible report on the executions had this. You see, so I mean, there really isn't much more to say. And Stanley's book, in fact, that was the thing that really swung it for me in terms of Stanley's book, in that he sort of casually said that his father, William Stanley, had been involved in an armed outfit which did target practice and worked with the auxiliaries, the Black and Tan terror forces, you might call it that, and that went down to this roadblock, fired, but over their head. The other interesting thing in Stanley's book is that he quotes his father's cousin, Oliver Stanley, who says that, yes, it's the same thing in fact. He says that the IRA thought that at the roadblock, two men of the IRA had been wounded. I mean, I can't remember whether he says one was killed or not. It was pretty unclear at this stage. But in fact, that was a mistake that they hadn't. In actual fact, it was Stanley said, the security forces, Black and Tan, had done it. So Oliver Stanley is a sort of genuine mistake, you know, that the IRA had mistakenly got this impression that the men had been shot. So, in other words, the idea that the Pearsons had done it, if they had done it, then they'd brought this upon themselves, which is the general view of this thing. tragic, of course. I mean, who wants war? Who knows what, you know, individuals of particular background would
I suppose what I understand what you're saying is it was late at night, so the light wouldn't have been great, and that there was some uncertainty about it.
But there's no uncertainty in the reports. Does Oliver Stanley really want to believe that the Pearsons really had done it, you see? I mean, he doesn't want to believe it. If they'd done it, the implication is that if they did it, really, they got what was coming to them, you see, which is what everyone really understood. That's how everybody understood it. You see,
everybody.
This is why the story was a dead one, you see, until this Harris Stanley publicity and the thing.
Stick with this incident, it's an important incident.
Well, in fact, it's a little bit more important. There is no other incident in connection to this case in terms of the reasons for the executions. They were not executed because of some nonsensical squabble over mass path. They were not executed for informing, spying, or anything like that. That's not what they were charged with. Of course, like, if they were prepared to go out and engage militarily, why would they not be delivering information? If you're prepared, let's say, to go in and steal a video camera, you're surely prepared to go in and steal a bag of crisps. You know what I mean? It's a much lesser sort of issue, you know what I mean? But the point was, they were entitled to the official records of an event which was officially investigated in formal settings, according to procedures at the time, by both sides, both the Irish side and the British side. That was what they were executed for. Nothing else came into it.
Tom Burke's statement to headquarters not mention that they were suspected of spying.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, why wouldn't they? You see, this is my point.
Did not mention the reasons why they were targeted?
They were executed for, what it says in those documents is they were executed for carrying out the attack. Now, I mean, spying, we can take it as read, that they're prepared to do that. Why wouldn't they? If they had the bottle, go down and do that. That's no little thing. Do you think they were going to hesitate to report? These were people who knew and understood the area, you see. They had strong beliefs, you know, powerful beliefs. And the police, you might say, they're destructive negatives, that they're anti-democratic. In effect, they were conformed with the general trend at the time of violent attacks on elected governments, assassination of elected representatives, and so on and so on. Right. That was where their beliefs lay, as it did in many other countries. The flying thing, pretty much, the relevance, I would assume that they had enough courage to, and they were certainly not short of courage, there's no question. Where the loyalties lay and so on, and they put their money where their mouth was.
Okay, just examine those things. It's obviously there's some distance between being a loyalist and actively spying. So can you tell me? I've spoken to Paddy Heaney, I've spoken to Bill Conway about this as well, obviously, and we've looked at everything. Can you tell me what proof you have discovered that the Pearsons were spying?
I'm not interested in the spying thing because I just assume that we know that they were shot for their actual